We're in 1 Timothy chapter 2.
1 Timothy chapter 2, we're picking it up in verse number 5, and we'll read down through verse number 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And now, as we spend just a few moments in it, we ask that you would bless us, show us what you would have us to see, that we might be conformed into your image more fully. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we enter this passage of Scripture, I just simply have titled it, A Message Worth Repeating. Now, we need to back up just one verse, I think, puts this passage in context. And I think if we take it out of the context, we kind of lose an idea of what God is trying to tell us. And everything that I have to say has to do with what's contained in verse number 4 and how these three verses relate to verse number 4. Now, verse number 4, talking about God, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. That is God's desire. And we talked about that last time, that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's plan. That is God's desire. And therefore, he gave us what we know as the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that in a nutshell is the message that's worth repeating. That in a nutshell is what is involved in these next three verses. But in these three verses, I have five different things. And you're thinking, oh boy, five different times. It's going to be either a series or we're going to be here awfully late. But we'll get through it and still have plenty of time for the business meeting. The first thing we find in this message worth repeating is that there is one God. There is one God. What this tells us is that salvation is impossible because God is holy. Now, stick with me, because I just said salvation is impossible, and so you may be wondering, well, what in the world is going on? How can I then be saved if it's impossible? But if the message was limited to this one truth, and it is a truth that there is only one God, then we cannot approach him because he is altogether holy. And we talked about that this morning, so I'm not going to belabor that point, but the fact is, sinful man cannot fellowship with a holy God. That is the bottom line. Unfortunately, there are many today that think there's a whole bunch of different gods. If you go to our Roman Catholic friends, they believe there's Mary is a god, and her mother is pretty close to it, and saints are almost there, but not quite. No, there's only one, at least biblically speaking. And so we need to remember that. The Hindus do not worship a god. The Buddhists do not worship a god. The Muslims do not worship a god. What they're worshiping under different names is none other than the prince of the power of the air, none other than the devil himself, who offers all these man-made counterfeit religions that have been inspired by him. And they all have one thing in common, and that's that salvation is earned by works. And he's going to address that very point here later on in these verses that we read tonight. But the first point in the message worth repeating is that there is only one God. And not everyone is going to get there. Not all roads lead to heaven. Only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. We know that. And that leads us to point number 2 in the message worth repeating. First of all, there is one God. And secondly, also out of verse number 5, is that there is only one mediator. There's only one mediator. You see, Muhammad does not lead anyone towards heaven. There's only one mediator. That mediator is not Mary. She's taught as being the co-mediatrix. Where is that anywhere in the Bible? You see, it's not. God says there is only one mediator between God and man. His name is not Joseph Smith or Charles Taz Russell. And we can go on with the names of people that men are following who are teaching false doctrine that they believe is going to get them to heaven, and they're basing their eternal destinies on the writings and on the words of these men. And though they may be charismatic men and be the type of person that someone wants to follow, they are still wrong, because God says there's only one. Now, this tells us that salvation is possible because God became man and paid the sinner's debt. He became our substitute. This is what counterbalances the first point in the message worth repeating. God, being holy, cannot dwell with sinful man. And so God sent His Son to die on the cross to be that go-between, that mediator, to reconcile two parties that are at odds with one another. That's what a mediator does. And that's exactly what Jesus did when He died on the cross. He paid the penalty. He broke down those walls of separation between us and our God so that we can now have fellowship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, there is only one name. There aren't two names, and there aren't three names. Again, not all roads lead to heaven. And so, there's only one God, there's only one mediator, but thirdly, there is one ransom in verse number 6, who gave Himself a ransom. This tells us that salvation is universal because Jesus' blood is sufficient for all mankind. Notice what He says there in verse number 6, who gave Himself a ransom for whom? For the Jews? Well, it goes a little beyond the Jews. For the Jews and the Gentiles, for all men. That's who the ransom was for. Now, a ransom is the price paid to purchase a slave. We were the slaves of sin. And Jesus paid the ransom price to purchase us out of that slave market and set us free. Now, as He sets us free, He expects us then to, in turn, serve Him and allow Him to be our master. That's what He expects of us. But He gives us that choice. He gives us that option. The choice is ours to make. But the fact is that a ransom was paid for all men. It's sufficient. The blood of Christ is sufficient for all, but efficient only for those who receive Christ. We see, fourthly, in this message worth repeating, there is one God, there is one mediator, there is one ransom, but there is also only one commission. In the second part of verse number 6, to be testified in due time. To be testified in due time. This tells us that salvation is exclusive because it is only for those who receive it. If we didn't have to go out and proclaim it, the gospel to every creature, then we could assume that all men are automatically going to heaven because the price has been paid. When we read that Jesus died for the world and all men, then we would assume if we didn't have that responsibility to take the gospel out, that they're okay, that God will take them to heaven, that they have been included in that penalty paid, that Christ was their substitute. But the very fact that God has given us this commission to go out and testify it and to preach it and share it with others tells us that if a man doesn't make that decision on his own, he's lost. He'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. And what an unfortunate event when God has done everything He can to provide for that individual's salvation. It's unfortunate that any soul winds up in heaven. It doesn't matter who they are. Even our worst enemies, it's unfortunate when they go to hell. And so we need to share the gospel with every creature. We need to testify, as it says, in due time. The idea behind that due time is anytime we can. Anytime it's available. Now we know that we can't always share the gospel with everyone. The circumstances do not allow it in certain situations. But there are times when it does allow it. And God says take advantage of those opportunities and share the gospel. That's one of the beauties of gospel tracts. When you're buying your groceries or buying something from the store, you don't want to take up that person's time, especially when there's a long line. And so out of consideration for other people, you don't want to engage them in a long conversation. And so you hand them a gospel tract and say, if you read this, it just could change your life forever. Or you could tell to them that this will tell you, if you'll read it, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Only takes a second. No one behind you is going to get irate about that, but you're giving them an opportunity. You see, we've been given this commission to testify in due time. You see, that's a due time. We all have opportunity. And we must seize the opportunities God has given to us. And so there's one God in this message worth repeating, one mediator, one ransom, one commission, but also one message. Look at verse number 7. Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is making reference to himself. He says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. Now, a preacher is a herald of the king. This emphasized the importance of the message. Eternity hangs in the balance for each one of these individuals that hear the gospel. Now, it hangs in the balance for those who don't hear the gospel. It's our responsibility to get the gospel to them so that they can make their own decision. And prayerfully, that decision will be to receive Christ and spend eternity in heaven. But the preacher emphasizes the importance of the message. But Paul also says, not just a preacher, but an apostle. An apostle is one sent with a special commission. And this tells us the importance, tells us the authority of the message. The message comes from the king himself. The message comes from God himself, who is sovereign, as we saw this morning. And so the message we have is not man-made. I feel sorry for those who have nothing better to proclaim than what their religious leader invented in their own minds. When the seven sacraments are promoted, that doesn't come out of the Bible anywhere. It's man-made. When the five pillars of Islam are promoted, that doesn't come out of the Bible. That's man-made. That comes out of the Quran, which is a copy of several different religious books, including the Bible. When someone says that you have to accept Christ and then get baptized, guess what? It's man-made. You go back to the leader. When you go back to Mormonism, you go back to Joseph Smith. But when we have our message, it has authority because it comes from God, our Creator, and God, our Savior, given to us in the book He's entrusted us with. And so Paul says, an apostle. He also refers to himself as a teacher. Now, in the parentheses, he's defending his apostleship, which often came under attack. One of the criteria of becoming an apostle was to be appointed personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were those that said, well, Paul wasn't a Christian before Jesus was crucified and rose again. And so there is no way he could have been appointed, but he was, and we know he was. He saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, and then he was discipled personally by the Lord in the Arabian desert. And so Paul was constantly defending his apostleship. But after that parenthesis, he also says, not just a preacher, not just an apostle, but also a teacher. A teacher. This emphasizes the availability of the message. Because a teacher is one who instructs. And just about anybody can learn something. And if that person is not capable of being instructed to learn something, chances are then they are safe in the blood of Christ because they probably have never reached a point of accountability. And so he says, I'm a teacher. Everyone has the potential to be saved. I don't believe the Bible teaches that God has elected some to heaven and elected some to hell. Now, those that say that God has elected some to hell will never say, in fact, they will deny that they teach that He's also elected some to hell. They say, God never did that. They're right, God never did. But God never elected any to heaven either. He's given us the free will to make our own choice. Now, once we accept Christ, we're eternally secure. And we agree with them on that point. But I soundly disagree with anyone who says once that God chose before the earth was formed who would go to heaven and who would go to hell. It's just not in the Scriptures. As we saw, it's a ransom for all. Not just for the elect, but for all. And so everyone can learn it. Everyone can be saved. Now this one message emphasizes that salvation is unique because there's only one way to be saved. And he talks about that one way to be saved when he emphasizes this idea of being a teacher of the Gentiles in what? Certainly not in faith and works, not in the law, but just simply faith and truth. He uses the word verity, but it means the word truth. Salvation is by faith, and we know that. And so we're to teach and instruct. Because if you ask someone whether they're going to heaven or not, and they say yes, and you then ask them what they're basing that in or on, and or why they think they're going to heaven, they will almost always include a work of some type. Almost always. And it's just uncanny how many people will say, because I keep the Ten Commandments. They just broke one of them right there, because they don't keep the Ten Commandments. But that's a work. Baptism is a work. Church attendance is a work. Tithing is a work. And we know all these things are works. Salvation is through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so Paul's a teacher of that and of verity, the truth. We talk a little bit about the truth. The truth is right here in the pages of this book. If you're having a question of what is true, just read the Bible. You'll find out what's true. And so this is a message worth repeating. There is one God telling us salvation is impossible because God is unapproachably holy. There is one mediator, which then makes salvation possible because God became man and paid the sinner's debt. We know there's one ransom. That teaches us that salvation is universal because Jesus' blood is sufficient for all of mankind. We know also that there is one commission, teaching us that salvation is exclusive only for those who will receive it through faith, through the one message. Salvation is unique because there's only one way. Not all roads lead to heaven. Now the question is, we have Paul's history recorded, at least a good portion of his history recorded. We know he was faithful with his message. He truly believed it was worth repeating. And so the question tonight is, do you believe this message that we just simply call the message of salvation or the gospel? Do you truly believe it's worth repeating? Or are you keeping it to yourself? Now, if you tend to keep it to yourself, think about this. Aren't you glad someone cared enough about your soul to share it with you? I'm glad Wes Rowe shared it with me back in March of 1980. So why don't we then share it with others? Father, we thank you for the plan of salvation. So simple. So simple that even a young child can understand it. Father, we so often are hesitant to share it with the people that you bring into our lives. Help us to be more bold with the gospel message. It surely is a message worth repeating. Encourage us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.